There we are. I think, Andy, I am ready there if you do the honours. Huh? So here we are. Psalm 20, 1 to 9. That's the verses. Page 554. That's roughly it, right? It's still Psalm 20 anyway. Title of the offering this morning is Prayer for Challenging Times. And it begins, I'll read it myself. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed. He answers from his holy heaven with saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the king, answer us when we call. Psalm 21 tonight. Title of our offering, as I said already at the beginning, is Prayer for Challenging Times. That is precisely what this psalm is about. A word of prayer. Lord, we do pray for both the reading and the preaching of your word this day. As always, we ask, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, who anointed and who inspired this word to be written, Lord, thousands upon thousands of years ago, that there would be a freshness in it for us this day. Lord, we're here to hear what you have to say through this psalm. Lord, this is the portion of scripture that we have, and this is what you have given me to give to all of us. So our prayer is in anticipation. Lord, may it encourage us to pray, Lord, at any time, but specifically, Lord, through challenging times. Thank you, Lord, that this is given to us as an example and to spur us on. Lord, inspire us, maybe even a measure of guidance as well, and to encourage us to remain faithful and to have faith even when we are praying. And all of God's people said, so there we are. Some psalms are wonderful. They're recorded in peace and quiet and tranquility. Psalm 23 is one. Psalm 20 is not a psalm like that. It's a psalm of war. If you're thinking someone sitting down in a nice, comfortable synagogue reflecting on this, this is not what it is. It is an army ready to march out to battle. And what they're praying for is, they're praying for success. Now, I would argue, probably one of the most challenging things any human can face is that of battle. Real battle. Physically aware, there's a vast army. They have prayed to God. They are praying and praying for victory. It's a psalm of David. David faced many wars, many battles. And I bet you didn't even know there was such a thing as a war psalm, did you? It's not the kind of thing that we would reflect on, meditate on. It's not the kind of thing that would give us a measure of ease. I have changed the title of this psalm several times to see if I could find out whether it would be relevant for us. And where it is really relevant is, it's for challenging times. The fact that it was a war situation makes it even more powerful, doesn't it? But it's prayer for challenging times. So all people and all of God's people face challenging times, and as we even do here, some people personally, some of us corporately at times. That's what it is. So there we are. So that's where we begin. The psalm is very easy to understand. Verses 1 to 5 are the soldiers, are the people, all assembled together, praying, but addressing the king, who in this case is leading the charge. That is verses 1 to 5. Verses 6, commentators can't be fully sure, but there's an individual response. And they don't know whether it was the king or the Levi priest. But anyway, somebody got something that looks like a fairly positive reply, and it gave him a bit of confidence. So then verses 7 and 8 was the whole lads again having another go, a kind of declaration of trust and confidence in God. And in verse 9 is just a kind of a final blast of prayer. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Imagine that. So after changing the title 3 times, I eventually came up with this one. And this one I'm going to leave now. Prayer for challenging times. Now, even this psalm and coming up to it was a challenge for me. Because there I was Thursday and was working on what I would speak this morning. By 9:30 on Thursday night, I had nothing. Nothing. I had read many scriptures. I had done all the things I need to do. And it wasn't that the Lord wasn't speaking to me. Well, he wasn't saying much. But I had absolutely nothing in the form of a sermon. Nothing. I said, Lord, do you realize how you made me? That unless you give me something, I have nothing. I know people find that very hard to believe. And then, because it was a challenging time for me, I decided I'd go look at a famous website. It was no help at all to me. You know what the lads were fighting? What they weren't fighting? Do you know what they're debating? Lord have mercy. I closed it. They were debating, how do you preach a verse in the Bible that you're not that enthusiastic about? I said, lads, go and get a life, for goodness sake, if that's your problem. I don't even have a verse. Never mind whether I'm enthusiastic or not, it doesn't make any difference to me. That's because lads get locked into a system of where you have to preach consecutively, you know, and they're locked into this because they think this is the way, and if you don't do it this way, you're inconsistent, you're not getting balanced and all that. I don't buy that for a minute. I've never bought it, right? So there I am anyway, and now it is 10 o'clock, and we have nothing. And the Bible was opened anyway, and I looked down, and I didn't even see Psalm 20. I just saw certain words. I said, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. And I said, that'll do fine. I looked down. I said, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. Distress is not the word. I was distressed at 2 o'clock. I'm now under fierce pressure. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support. And then it goes on and on and on and on. And a lot of the things that were said in the first 5 verses, I said, I need that, I need that, I need that, I need that. So I went to bed anyway, as one does, and I said, I think I have the sermon. And then at around 5 o'clock in the morning, no, why couldn't it be 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, you tell me? 5 o'clock Friday morning, up I wake, up I get, and start working in this. That is distress. That is distress. I don't care what you think, it's just distress. And that's when I worked my sermon, 5 o'clock on Friday morning, after spending all day Thursday coming. So anyway, we begin, and we begin where it begins. Remember, it's a psalm got to do with challenging times. And verse 1 begins, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress, and may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. And identifies 2 things that are real to all of us, distress at times and protection at other times. Would you agree? The one time you want God to answer you is when you are in distress. Of all things. But it is key that God answers when you are distressed. Because there's nothing a whole pile worse than having absolutely no peace You're praying, and instead of getting better, it's getting worse. Because where else can you go? If heaven shuts up and stays quiet, you're snookered, especially the likes of me. So they're asking the Lord, specifically for the king, that when he is distressed, that God would actually speak to him. And the cause of this distress specifically is got to do with obvious danger. That's what's got to do with. And we're in danger. The one thing that you want is protection. So what they're asking for is about as real and is about as relevant and as accurate as you can actually get. This is not a kind of a pretend prayer. Bless your anointed, O Lord. They're saying it exactly what he would be facing. Challenging times bring a fair amount of distress. And let me tell you, God doesn't seem to have a problem in putting you and me, and some of us even more so, in stressful and dangerous situations. You can be a man and a woman of God and be right in the middle of a heap of trouble. That is very distressing. And it's a very, very uncertain outcome. So that's where they begin. Verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. And what they're asking here for is divine intervention. Back in that time, the sanctuary, of course, had been the temple. And that's where they would have gone to meet God. And where God resided, as far as that was concerned, it was in Jerusalem. So what he's asking for is, where you know to go from help, and where we know we can get help from, may be there for you. Help and support. That's what I needed on Thursday night. I wasn't under any danger, but I was distressed a bit. Help and support. Supposing God doesn't speak and God doesn't act, what do you do then? Like, you know, it's all right to say, you know, the great advantage of having faith is you have trust. If there's any disadvantages, if God doesn't show up, you're snookered. There's no plan B. No, I know a lot of the world operate as if God doesn't live and God doesn't exist and they get on with it. But the problem is, I don't operate that way. I have chosen to have faith. And if faith is beginning to falter and there's no sign of anything coming, there's distress. Of course there is. Then, verse 3, may he remember, now remember, they're praying all this to God, but right in front of the king, may he remember all your sacrifice and accept your burnt offerings. Another lesson that is, may he remember that you have been faithful, that you have done everything that you can do before God, and may the Lord remember that. So they're praying for remembrance and acceptance. So far, so good. Verses 4 and 5, we'll move on. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. That's the verse that caught my eye. Now, if you have no desires left in you to be fulfilled, then I'm going to take your portion because I have a whole heap of them that I'm waiting to be fulfilled. I don't know what you do with your desires or with your plans. I bring them all before the Lord. Now, in fairness to him, let us be honest here, some desires are met. No point in saying they're not, right? But there's a whole heap of them that are not. Now, you may be an exception to that, but I was saying, Lord, I want to give you my desires again. I have several desires, Lord, that are yet unfulfilled. As for plans succeed, even one plan lot to succeed, I wouldn't mind at this stage. I wouldn't know succession of us to succeed if they was in front of me. So let me give you an answer. This is what came to me was, I've been trying since September to to go and see Declan Nerman. And I was all set up to go and see him. I had it nailed down. It was ironclad, coming close to Christmas. And at Christmas time, there's like, you know what I mean, very busy, lots of things happening. I couldn't blast it go. I couldn't go. There, it was the beginning of my Christmas celebrations and I couldn't go. No, that wouldn't matter a scrap of difference to you. I know it does. But I have a plan for Christmas and it has to kickstart in a good way. It has to start off high and end high. Well, it's not off in the flap and it isn't in the flap. Let's not hit it up. So the plan, the thing is we have desires of our heart. We have things that are important to us. And the truth is we all don't get that. Nobody does. Everybody lives in this planet with unfulfilled desires. Things that are our truth. No. That being said, on the flip side, we did get Nathan Carter, a blessing we hadn't even considered for New Year's Eve. I did get that. And I got a lovely concert last Sunday night on video, so I did get that. But there's something about desires of the heart that are not met, and it does impact you. It does impact you. And there's nothing like plans succeeding to give you confidence in faith and to increase your faith. There's nothing like success breeds success, doesn't it? So what they're saying is, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. I said, Lord, I could do with some of that. I could do with some of that. Nothing wrong with that. So the desire of your heart, I have had several of them, so have you. Your plans to succeed. Now, that would be wonderful. But that is what they're asking for here in verse 4. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and we lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. It's a wonderful prayer. But nobody knows when you're praying whether you're going to be victorious or not. Oh, there's a whole lot of bunch of lads who will say every time that you're following Christ, you're going to be victorious. Well, I'm delighted for them. They must be fulfilling my desires. It must be their plans are succeeding. Doesn't necessarily go like that. Some plans do succeed, and we're grateful for it. Some desires are filled, not all are. May the Lord grant all your requests. Let me ask you a question. Does God grant all your requests? Certainly doesn't grant all mine, anyway. No, I'm not saying that God doesn't answer prayer. I'm saying is he doesn't necessarily give us all the desires of our heart. Yes. Not all my plans have succeeded. Many of them have been an utter failure. Not that it bothers me at this stage. I can't do anything about it, no. Does God grant all my requests? Absolutely not. I get as many no's as yeses. But when you're facing a battle and it is life-changing, you desperately need reassurance, don't you? Can I come out of this thing with my head up, even my head on, not my mind up, even if it was on and stayed on and we can survive the thing, even that? So that's the prayer for challenging times. Are you with me so far? Does that make sense? And all of us have these challenging times. I think it's a very relevant word. Excuse me. There we are. Anyway, in verse 6, we don't know who answers this, but it's either the king or it's, you know, the priest. It says, now I know the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with saving power of his right hand. What you have there seems to be certainty. Now, there's nothing more reassuring in this world, as far as I'm concerned, is getting a word of certainty from God. That is really from God and that you can stake your life in it, right? It's worth all the money in the world to those of us who believe. And verse 6 seems to confirm that some fella somewhere along the line got some kind of confirmation. And he says, now I know the Lord saves, so that they'll survive, that he will answer from his holy heaven. with saving power of his right hand, so that this thing is going to turn out okay, and not alone will the lads come back alive, they'll come back victoriously. No, there's a whole brand of Christianity that says that that happens every time. And I'm to say to you, it doesn't. It doesn't. The mystery and the purposes of God and how God answers prayers remains a mystery. Let me give you an example. In the book of Acts, James, the brother of Jesus, got arrested. We assume the church prayed and he was beheaded. They went after Peter next. They arrested him. They were going to do the same thing. Church prayed, and guess what happens? An angel comes down, opens the prison. Peter walks out. That's the truth. Same God. Two men of God. Two different responses. So, but when you get reassurance from God that he hears you and this thing is going to turn out right, then it brings a degree of confidence and it brings a certainty and a security that restores your peace. Does that make sense? Inwardly. You don't know how it's all going to work out, but at least you have peace to know that God has heard, that God is going to do something and it will have a positive result. Once you have that, you can do anything. You can wait then. I was speaking to the Lord this morning and he was reminding me of how he led me, that is completely independent of any man. He said, this path even you can argue with. Well, I'd make an attempt, but... So he was reminding me of all the times back in the olden days when he was leading me, still leading me, but he was giving an example of that when it came to employment, the Lord has always boxed me in. In other words, he's put a circle around me and I can only go so far this way, so far that way, and it is to kind of keep me on track. God has always done that. Those who know me and have observed my life have seen it. So let me give you an example. At one stage, I was selling books and I was making no money. Now, we were doing well ministry-wise, but there was absolutely no money in it. And you know, you need money to survive. And the Lord provided courier work for me. But that phone would not ring until I made my book appointments. And if I made no book appointments for a week, that phone stayed quiet. And it's remarkable, as soon as I made my appointments to go around to different places, the days in between that I had no appointments, that I couldn't get any or it wouldn't work, the phone would ring and I'd get to work. Now you tell me why that is. That is God directing me. Whether I like it, I didn't like it, but I couldn't do anything about it. He reminded me of another example of it. The book thing had finished and I was unemployed, and because I'm self-employed, you get nothing. You get nothing. If I was employed tomorrow morning, I get absolutely nothing. And this was one of these phases, and the skill he gave me was playing drums. But for most of my life, he doesn't let me play. Maybe it's because as an answer to prayer of other musicians, they'll say, but I remember one stage anyway, we needed money. The courier thing had dried up at this stage. And I remember getting gigs. This was in the 90s. And I remember getting 19 or 20 gigs in the month of December. One after another. I made a lot of money. Not mega money, right? But I made money. Well, I made nothing for the months before that, and I made nothing afterwards, but nevertheless, we made money. That was sometimes in the 1990s. That phone has a wrong sense for a gig. And I'd love to gig. A desire of the heart. But it may be a desire of the heart, but I think the musicians out there are praying, and they have more faith in me. It doesn't come that way, does it? And what I see is, the Lord was reminding me, when I want to give you the work, I'll give you the work. When I want to stop the work, I'll stop the work. So you're praying for challenging times. So it's great when you know God can answer and God will answer and God will direct. It's great, isn't it? But when he doesn't answer anything and you're in between, it's a killer. That's the challenge. So that's where they were at that anyway. They got the reassurance that this battle would be fine for them. And look, we're still here. And God has still provided for me. But he was just reminding me that this morning. All the times he has led me, he has directed me. And when I tried to go outside it, as I often did, and tell him I had a better plan, he boxed me in. Now, whether you believe that or not, it doesn't matter to me. I know to be in my heart to be true, and my experience of it is just the absolute reality. And I wish it wasn't like that, but it is. Anyway, we move on. Verses 7 and 8, when they got this reassurance that God was with them, that this is going to be okay, it gave them a burst of faith. And we see that in verse 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It is fine to say that when you don't need God to show up. Does that make sense? It's a whole different thing to say that when you do. If God took his hand off of me tomorrow morning or today, snookered. Absolutely snookered. I can see even, I didn't even have this on Thursday night, Friday morning, as we said. So, and it's easy for people to say, oh, God will have a plan. And God does have a plan, but it's easy for them to say that when they don't have to trust. But when you have to trust, and if God doesn't show up, you're completely sunk. It's a whole different ballgame. And the truth is, God does allow those kind of things come into all of our lives. He does. So we're left with, well, what do we trust in? Some trust in chariots, that is in human resources. Others trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That is what they call faith. But faith, and to work as faith is, it means if it doesn't show up, you're snookered. There is no plan B. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we will rise up and stand firm. Great words if they're true. But supposing it goes the other way. You sink. You don't stand. And the challenging time smothers you. What do you do then? I bet you didn't even know that Psalm was there, did you? Because usually our thing of Psalms is crying out to God, and it's usually nice and reflective for something, you know. Then the last part of it is, O Lord, save the King, answer us when we call. And the Lord does. Friday morning when I was doing this, the Lord began to show me something that we have seen down through years. Actually, we have seen it less than most churches, right? We have been blessed in this. But nevertheless, we have seen a taste of it. And a taste of it is, down through the years, people come and go, and that is people's choice, obviously. And some people go, and they're a huge loss. Does that make sense? Because of their overall contribution. Maybe they have poured in an awful lot of their time or their effort. Some people have been very good to, they didn't have time, but they were very good with money. And they provided the means for other people to do the work that they couldn't necessarily do themselves because of time, you know. So we've been blessed, actually, down through the years with people and resources. But there's always a section of people in every church of where they'll just come in, they'll take whatever is available to them. And as soon as it's no use to them anymore, or they have everything that they need from us, they'd walk out that door and wouldn't even say thank you. And people have done that. Not much here in this church, actually. We have been blessed. We have really been blessed. Because many people have come. But some people have walked out and we didn't even know they were gone. And neither did you. Until they were gone. Didn't even say goodbye. And the Lord was reminding me of that and said, is they took from you, not from us collectively. And when you're under pressure with different resources or lack of it at times, they will not give you a dig out. When you give them a dig out, they would not give you a dig out. And he's saying, that is wrong. That is wrong. You can do no about it. And he pointed out to him, because you'd be the worst in the world. We know that. Laying guilt on us. But he was showing me that at 5:45 on Friday morning. And saying, Pat, that's wrong. And don't be afraid to say it. That's why that's when I meet people asking for money. We need money. How much would you like to give us? Especially if they've got a greater amount out of us done through the years. We know who have been good with us. And we know who have been very faithful, right? You know that. But I've also known some people who have bled us dry. That's what I have. And that's what he came to me and all that. So put all that together. Prayer for challenging times. And here's what they are. And I think this is what we're facing, a lot of us, at different times. Distress. An uncertain future. Does that make sense?